Good afternoon, delegates. We now move on to agenda item 14. Yesterday we did complete agenda item 13, so we are moving on to agenda item 14, matters arising from FAO and WHO. And we have the first part, which is looking at the Codex Trust Fund for enhanced participation in Codex. We have a number of documents for reference. We have CXCSC 11/34/14. That document has addendum 1 and addendum 2. We also have a report from the Executive Committee, a number of paragraphs from around 134 on this particular matter. We have the annual report of the Trust Fund for the year 2010, together with the 14th progress report. We also have responses of the midterm evaluation from our parent organizations, FAO and WHO. And then we have proposals for the way forward for the Trust Fund. Many of you will recall at the last commission meeting, we did discuss the issues of the midterm review and referred questions to the various coordinating committees. The responses from the various coordinating committees have been considered, and proposals for the way forward will now be discussed in this commission and agreed on. I now invite WHO to take us through the process that will lead us to discussion and way forward for the Trust Fund. WHO, please.
Comment on fait pour mettre le microphone?
Ça?
Oui.
Distinguished delegates, while we're trying to get the presentation up, and in the interest of time, perhaps we could just move forward, and I will speak, and then as the slides, if and when the slides come up, we can move through them. So as Vice Chairman Yindo has stated, for us it was very important first to listen and to consider everything that had come out from the CC Exec, last year's Commission, and the Regional Coordinating Committees. Based on that, we went into a period of trying to understand what the essential needs were for sustained participation in Codex by the countries, and how the Codex Trust Fund, within its mandate, might be positioned to respond to those. And we took a number of things into consideration. First and foremost, we looked, with the databases that we now have established, we looked at the countries that already were facing difficulty in sustaining participation in Codex, whether they were graduate countries or whether they were countries who were still eligible for the Codex Trust Fund, but on the 50% matched funding. And we tried to create a profile of those countries to try and understand what the common characteristics were. And once again, in the interest of time, I'm not going to go through all the process of that, but it became very, very clear that the countries who were already facing difficulties shared some common characteristics. And they were the same characteristics that we see in our least developed countries and in our small island developing states. So the proposals that we're putting forward, particularly under Objective 1, and I think that might be the area where we concentrate most of our discussion today, we're putting forward proposals that are, number one, aimed at ensuring that countries who are still eligible for the Codex Trust Fund, that we're getting them on the right path to sustainability, that we're not waiting till graduation. If they're facing difficulties already, let's respond to it. And this is why in the proposals that you have before you in Add 2, we have two options. The first option being that we keep the criteria the way they are, and countries that are having problems, we have the follow-up done by the parent bodies, FAO and WHO. The second option goes a little bit further. It says the countries, the least developed and small island developing states, who appear to already be experiencing some difficulties, let's keep them in for 2 more years, but with some changes. First change, that they will get the support for their 2 top priority Codex committees. What are the 2 most important Codex committees for that particular country? So it's a continuation of the prioritization process. The Codex Trust Fund would support 2 participants to each one of those priority meetings. And then in a continuation of the matched funding requirement, the country itself would support another 2 participants, either to the same 2 top priority meetings or to 2 other priority meetings. So that adds a layer whereby least developed countries and small island developing states are now getting 2 extra years on the 50%. With, of course, the whole dialogue with the parent bodies to ensure that what is within their mandate in terms of trying to build effective codex structures, etc., national food safety systems at national level, has to be embedded within that process. The second thing we looked at are graduate countries who are having difficulty. And here we thought that we needed to move towards a more tailored process, that really those who are not able to sustain even a minimal participation in the Codex process might need to be helped. And the suggestion that you have in front of you in Add 2 is to have a separate application process for graduate countries, whereby there would be dialogue to see why they're not able to sustain participation. There would be a separate application process with very stringent application procedures, all of which are really geared towards building up the essentials of what's needed at country level to sustain participation in Codex. And the other part of that is that there would be a much more active technical involvement on the part of the parent bodies to ensure that the right kind of support is being given from the parent bodies also to the graduate countries. We're also suggesting that the application should be accompanied by a national action plan for Codex that could be reviewed from year to year to see what kind of progress is being made. So it's a much more tailored approach, less kind of cookie cutter, if I could call it that, and much more tailored towards trying to have a good partnership to see how we can best help the countries so that the physical participation is supported along with all the capacity building that needs to take place. So those are the proposals on the table to meet Objective 1, widening the participation in Codex. In terms of Objective 2, in the paper in front of you, the proposals are basically what we've been trying to do in terms of regional and sub-regional FAO-WHO Codex training. And the Codex Trust Fund will continue to support that. There's also the idea that we might like to concentrate some of our training around specific Codex committee meetings, which are of high priority to many of the developing countries, and we can see this. We know which committees are the most highly demanded by the Codex Trust Fund eligible countries, with the idea being is that you actually work with the countries and the delegates who have been nominated to attend that committee, maybe 6 months in advance, and you're actually working with them on the whole process of that specific committee so that they can go back home, do their preparation, come to the committee meeting with what we hope will be a more effective participation, and then once again go back to their country and go through the whole knowledge management, restitution, and preparation for the next committee. So it relies on continuity of participants in the same meeting, and it really works on specific capacity building for specific Codex meetings. With regard to the third objective, which is the one that relates to scientific and technical input into Codex, here we will continue with the seminars to increase the understanding of how the science gets into the Codex process and how that can be strengthened. In addition, for the first time, and thanks to an earmarked contribution from the European Commission, we will be able to support data surveys on mycotoxins in sorghum in four countries, covering two Codex regions, that will feed into the process which is underway, the discussion paper on mycotoxins in sorghum, which is underway in the Codex Committee on Contaminants in Foods. So those are just the highlights, Chair, of some of the proposals we have on the table. I was hoping to be able to put up some key questions, but I still don't see any technological innovations that are helping us move forward. I'd be perfectly happy to read out those questions, Chair, if you so wish. So the first question that we would like you to consider is, should the least developed countries and the small island developing states get extra support? The second question, should graduate countries who cannot sustain some participation be brought back into the Codex Trust Fund for support? And the third question is a more global one. Are the proposals that we have put forward in the paper the right way forward for objectives 1, 2, and 3 of the Codex Trust Fund? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, WHO, for that presentation. Before we go to giving some advice on the way forward on the specific questions, I'd like to recognize and thank the donors who have enabled the Codex Trust Fund to reach where it is. If you read through the reports that have been presented, you will note that over $11.8 million have been given to Codex, and that money has been used over the years to enable many of us, especially from the developing world, to attend various Codex committees and the Commission meeting. So I'd like to thank the donors for that. Thank you very much, the donors, and we encourage you to keep supporting the process. So we have a number of questions. Want to focus on objective 1. And there are questions. The first one is, should less developed countries, LDCs, and small island developing states get extra support? I hope we have got that question. on objective one, which is widening participation in CODEX. The second question is, should graduate countries, and those are the countries that have gone the full cycle under the current arrangement, who cannot sustain some participation, be brought back in, and a proposal to that effect of allowing them two more meetings on a cost-sharing basis, in other words, 50%, should these be brought back into the program? Let's focus our attention to those questions. Comments from the delegates, please. Costa Rica, please.
Thank you, Chairman. Before making reference to the questions that you have raised, could I ask whether we're permitted to make general remarks, or are we going to go through these points objective by objective?
Thank you, Costa Rica. I'll allow a few general remarks. We really need to focus on the questions given the time. So if you have a general remark, I think I'll take at most two. Costa Rica, please.
Thank you, Chairman. Costa Rica and the Latin American region have always sought to prioritize the use of funds under Objective 1. We feel this to be a positive development on the part of the administration, and we are very grateful for all the support on this. However, we do consider that there is need to take care with regard to Objective 2 when it comes to earmarking resources in a complementary fashion to the resources already allocated by WHO and FAO to this objective, to avoid doubling up of efforts. Specifically, with regard to the questions, we consider that if support is required for SIDs and LDCs, and it's important to bear in mind that a number of countries who have graduated are not in a position to keep up their participation, and we particularly flag the concerns we have with regard to the criteria by which countries are deemed to have graduated. We worry that these are not always appropriate because they are based on a small handful of indicators which do not necessarily reflect reality in our countries. Secondly, with regard to the proposal to include or reincorporate graduate countries, we wish to indicate that we are unsure as to the criteria that would be used as a basis for re-inclusion. Would non-participation for budgetary reasons be taken as a reason, or would there be other reasons at the heart of this? This criterion of the number of meetings attended is not necessarily the most objective indicator in this regard. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Costa Rica. I see the flags of Mali. Mali, please.
Merci, Monsieur le Président.
Thank you, Chairman. I would at the outset like to extend my thanks to the donors, the Trust Fund team, and WHO and FAO for the results and the work that they have achieved. We have closely examined the options proposed, and as we see it, they are fully complementary, given that it's important to continue to provide support for countries who are having difficulties in participating, because presence at meetings is one of the key success factors ensuring successful preparation and use of standards. At the same time, we believe that particular attention should be paid to the so-called graduate countries, because whilst one objective might have been achieved, there are other objectives under the Trust Fund which remain to be achieved with such countries. We believe that it would be as well to tap into the experience of countries who have successfully got through the process. They might be able to provide support to weaker countries. Bearing in mind that there are countries that may have low economic levels of development but might have major development experience which they might be able to share with others who are having difficulties in making progress. Success stories and experience could therefore be shared. Indeed, within the African region, I think we could make use of the presence of regional organisations. I'm pleased to note that ECOWAS and the African Union are present in the room, and they might be able to share their valuable assistance with us, providing support for countries where needed, as well as positive coordination on such matters. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Mali. Colombia, please.
Gracias, señor presidente.
Thank you, Chairman. In the past, through the coordinating committees, we have examined this issue, and we would, in that regard, very much endorse what was said by Costa Rica. And Latin America, in general, would seek support, additional support for LDCs and SIDS. This, however, should be selective and should be targeted at promoting qualified participation in meetings, ensuring also that graduates perhaps be reincorporated through new funds. We cannot, however, merely promote physical presence. There should be a tangible outcome from this presence, meeting after meeting. Therefore, we believe that the return of certain countries, certain graduate countries who had been supported in the past, should be based on the criterion of presence at previous meetings and tangible outcomes as a result of their previous participation. And taking that criterion, they might be allowed back into the trust fund. We cannot enable return to the trust fund without any tangible result to show for it. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you very much, Colombia. I recognize the flag of Egypt. Egypt, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. I'd like to thank and commend what has been written in the WHO report in terms of proposals and the participation of the developing countries, and their continuation to participate will have an impact, a positive impact on all countries, whether the developed industrialized countries or the consuming developing countries. But we do support what has been said by Costa Rica, and there should be a review of the criteria for countries and their participations in the committees of the Commission in order to participate effectively. And in addition, we believe that there is a need to increase the participation within the Codex Alimentarium and Alimentarius Commission, with regards to question one or two, as they are both very important in our view. Thank you, Mr. Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Egypt. At this time, I would like us to focus on the questions, but there has been some questions relating to what criteria will be used to bring back those who have graduated back into the program. Some members are seeking clarification on that issue. I'm therefore calling on a WHO to guide us on this question before we proceed. WHO, please.
Thank you, Chair. The criteria have, of course, not been fully elaborated, but as mentioned by Catherine a moment ago, we will be evaluating A on a case-by-case basis, looking at certainly all of the criteria that you have mentioned now when we're designing the process. Certainly, the issue of qualified participation is one. Continued participation is second. The fact that there is an effective participation both at the meeting with an impact when people go home is another criterion. So just to reassure you, we will not just be looking at physical presence or whether, you know, a country comes back because they have not been able to find the matching funds. That's not the criterion. The criterion is really the process is ongoing in a country. It can benefit from continued participation, so we get those graduate countries back, and it will not be a one-size-fits-all. We will have certainly to apply those criteria very stringently and look at the case-by-case, at all of them case-by-case, and we'll be accountable to you, of course. Whatever we do, you will be able to judge whether we were right or not. I think I'll leave it at that, Chair, and then we go into the specific questions.
Thank you very much, WHO. I have over 10 flags. I want to limit our interventions to some guidance on the way forward so that we are able to proceed. I recognize the flag of Cameroon. Cameroon, please.
Merci, Monsieur le Président.
Thank you, Chair. Cameroon would like to thank the Commission for all the support it has received, because the support has allowed Cameroon to progress within the framework of participation in the Codex. And thanks to this help that we advocate the continuation of support by the Codex of countries, all countries, including those that have not fully succeeded, because we think that the success allows us to continue. The participation, especially of African countries, has increased. Therefore, we can't stop where we are now. We have to continue to support the effort and continue to reap the rewards. Concerning the second objective, we also believe that it's important to continue to strengthen capacity to improve quality. This has been done, but we should also carry out monitoring and mentoring. Therefore, some countries could support others. I think this was a very good idea in the central part of Africa. We've had good success with this, and I think this is an idea that could be used throughout the Codex and could bring some very positive results. Thank you.
Thank you, Cameroon. Rwanda, please.
Thank you, Chair. I want to thank the Codex Trust Fund for having given opportunity to the developing countries and the island states. And the way I look at this, the questions, the actual leading questions, I like the way they have been framed, they have been phrased. They lead us to say, yes, please do continue on number one, to support those countries which are struggling, the least developing countries, and those ones which have been graduated. But I believe the reason why maybe the countries which had been graduated, why they have, there's a suggestion they should be brought back. Maybe there's a compelling case that their participation was important and maybe they are struggling. And therefore, if the assessment that was done deems that they should be brought back, then that should be the case. I strongly believe, support the criteria that I saw in the report, that actually being brought in should be conditional. It's not just a matter of bringing countries back unless they're adding value to this commission. I want to believe that one of the criteria, of course, would be active participation in this commission. And equally important, I think the transfer of knowledge when people go back to their home countries. The knowledge obtained from here should be able to feed back into standard setting, which is actually what we learned in this commission. Thank you.
Thank you, Rwanda. I think those were useful contributions. Cognize the flag of Poland. Poland, please.
Thank you, Chair. Poland speaking on behalf of the European Union and its member states would like to present the following statement. The European Union and its member states continue to fully support efforts to enhance the participation of developing countries in Codex works. This issue is of high relevance also for the European region. The statistics demonstrate the important role of the Codex Trust Fund in facilitating the attendance of developing countries in Codex meetings. The European Union and its member states continue to contribute significantly to the Trust Fund, both at the European Commission and at the member states level. The European Commission and its member states' contribution represents 65.8% of the total contributions received in the period 2003-2010. By adding Switzerland and Norway, both members of the Europe region, this proportion increases up to 72.4%. As concerns the first objective, the European Union and its member states would preferably be in favour of option 2, granting additional support for LDCs and CIDs. We are in favour of the proposal to provide additional support to countries who have graduated but who have not demonstrated a capacity to sustain their participation in Codex using other funds. On the proposed mechanism to be followed, we would appreciate further clarification on the dialogue mentioned under step 2, which will be the key step to select graduate countries who will come back to the trust fund, keeping in mind that the process has to be transparent and fair. As concerns objective 2, the European Union and its member states support recommendations to ensure a real participation and contribution of developing countries in the Codex works. However, these objectives are much more ambitious than the first one, and progress will take time to materialize. That's why the capacity building activities should be broadened for these countries. As concerns objective 3, related to the enhancing technical and scientific input to Codex, the European Union and its member states recognize the importance of objective 3, but consider that it shouldn't be the first priority, and we are of the view that efforts should be focused on objective 2. In our opinion, the 3 identified areas of interventions could be adequate to meet this objective. The European Union and its member states considers that this is particularly important to provide funding in order to increase data from developing countries that can be considered in the scientific advice. Thank you.
Thank you, Poland, speaking on behalf of the European Union. I recognize the flag of Brazil. Brazil, please.
Thank you, Chair. Firstly, I would like to thank the explanations given on this issue. Brazil recognizes the importance of the Codex Trust Fund for increasing the participation of the developing countries in the Codex process and for improving the quality of their national Codex structures. Related to the two questions that you presented, we think that the first one should be analyzed case by case, but of course Brazil sees in a good way in terms of the participation of LDCs and SIDS. And our answer for the second question is yes, we are concerned with the fact that many countries that might still need support from the trust fund are being considered graduated. This has been occurring particularly in some regions, and Brazil considers that there should be a mechanism for ensuring the participation of graduated members which still need the support of the fund. Such mechanism should have criteria for allowing the participation of these members during extended periods. And finally, we would like to underline the position expressed by Costa Rica and Colombia previously. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Brazil. I need not conclude objective one. So I'm going to make a proposal to the Commission for adoption, because we have to consider also objective two and objective three, and we don't have too much time left. I think there is general agreement from the delegations that there is need for continued support for LDCs and SIDS, Small Island Development States. There is also agreement that graduate countries may be returned back to the program. But on this, there is need for clear criteria which should be transparent to the members of the Commission. In other words, a mechanism has got to be put in place that will allow the selection of the graduate members back into the program. So on those two questions, that's the feeling I get from this Commission. Do we have agreement on objective one? I see nodding heads, so thank you very much. Uganda, please.
On the issue of sustainability, first of all, the criteria should have inbuilt criteria issues so that we ensure sustainability and the failure rates are lower. We don't encourage them to fail so that they come back. So if we can reduce the failure rate, then we shall have less failures, and then we can see how. Thank you.
Thank you, Uganda, for that additional guidance when the criteria is being developed. Is there any objection to my summary of objective under objective one? I see none. Can we move on to objective two? Lebanon, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. It is not an objection, but we do agree with your opinion, but we have an observation to make. There are certain countries that moved into self-financing, but they were subject to events, and therefore they had to re-establish their priorities, and therefore the Codex did not become maybe a priority for these countries. I think these countries have a right to remain. and continue to have a relationship with the Codex without any conditions or mechanisms. Thank you.
WHO, please, in response of Lebanon inquiry, please.
Of course, I mean, the aim is to establish functioning systems that enable countries to contribute to the work of the Codex and to take benefit from the work of Codex. So when we look at the return of the graduates, and we said we'll look at it case by case, then one possibility is to say if there have been changes and we see that there is a need to address the specificity of a country, we will certainly look at that. The important thing is that the criteria are clear, transparent, and that everybody knows if we make an exception, it is for good reasons. And that, so we'll take care of that. We'll discuss with the colleagues from FAO and certainly consider those specifics as well. Thank you.
Thank you, WHO. We'll now move on to Objective 2. Objective 2 is strengthening participation in Codex. Argentina, please.
Gracias, señor presidente.
Thank you, Chairman. Argentina would like to extend thanks to donors, as those who have spoken before me have done, the donors who have cooperated with the Trust Fund. And we would like to state the following. We feel that the contribution to participation of small and developing states is highly appropriate and relevant, given that these states find themselves in a very particular situation, given the lack of personnel given over to inspection, monitoring and standard-setting work for foodstuffs, find themselves having to give over a large amount of resources and money to Codex activity. The same goes for LDCs. We are, however, concerned at the criteria which are going to be adopted to enable the re-entry of graduate countries. The reason for our concern is the fact that as happens with the FAO and WHO budgets for Codex, all of the same earmarking happens nationally, with the Ministries of Agriculture and Health having to contribute. And the problem is that health ministries are all too often unable to dedicate an iota of funds to Codex because they do not have a dedicated budget for participation, given that such ministries might need to ensure participation in what they deem to be more priority meetings. This needs to be taken into account when it comes to developing criteria, because there are countries where priority is accorded to certain government activities, whilst other governmental segments of government do not have any resources whatsoever to participate in international meetings. This should be dealt with. And I would draw attention to the fact that in my region, Latin America and the Caribbean, virtually every country is a graduate country. I thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Argentina. But I thought we have agreed that a criteria which is transparent will be developed, and I believe your submission will be considered while the WHO is developing that particular criteria. So thank you very much. I'd like us to really focus on Objective 2. There were proposals from WHO. They are largely focused on training, especially for prioritized Codex committees of the member states. And the Trust Fund would like proposals on that particular objective as a way forward. So let's have a quick discussion on this. Please, please give us a way forward. First flag, I recognize the flag of Ethiopia. Ethiopia, please.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Ethiopia is highly appreciating the donor countries for assisting us to participate in different codex committees and the commission. And regarding prioritizing committees for codex participation, we believe that strengthening the national codex committees would rightly gear the need for prioritizing which committee meetings could participating countries send participants, because it is at the national level that we have to strengthen our efforts. So this could be one means of prioritizing which committee, codex committee participation could the country send delegates. And at the second level, we have to also strengthen and prioritize committee participations, codex committee participations at regional levels. So this could be one of the suggestions that we have. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ethiopia. Jamaica, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. While not belaboring the matter of Objective 1, Jamaica just like to express its support for the summary and the support for the summary that you have so arrived at Objective number one, and to say that we also like to express our appreciation to the donor countries that have continued to provide funds for the Codex Trust Fund. Additionally, in terms of the objective number two, we certainly would support training, regional training, because in this way we could help other countries within the Caribbean region especially to strengthen their codex structure. So that's something that we would fully like to support. Thank you.
Thank you, Jamaica. Japan. Japan, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Japan appreciates the efforts of FAO and the WHO to operate trust fund project for enhancing participation of countries in the work of Codex. We are now in the second half of the trust fund project. In economic crisis of recent years, our taxpayers increasingly request more transparency in the government spending. In this connection, our government has to show our taxpayers how the trust fund has benefited developing countries. Outcome on the use of trust fund in coming years will strongly influence the government decision on funding. Japan recognizes that three objectives are equally important, as discussed in the executive committee. However, we consider that the trust fund should still more focus on objective one, which is the original purpose of trust fund, to support participation in Codex. Total amount of trust fund is quite limited, and fund cannot be adapted equally to the three objectives. Thank you.
Thank you, Japan. I recognize the flags of Kenya. Kenya, please.
Thank you. Kenya would like to recognize the benefits that have been derived from the Codex Trust Fund over the years. We have seen the widening, and we are now seeing the strengthening going a little further by taking advantage of the capacities that have been developed by the trust fund in the regions by twinning and monitoring. And I would want to see this in relation to objective 3 in enhancing the capacities that have actually been built over the years. I want to look at objective 2 and objective 3 as the sustainability of what has been invested in the widening. Thank you.
Thank you, Kenya. I recognize the flag of Bhutan. Bhutan, please.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I just wanted to mention that Bhutan has a very specific problem as far as quota participation is concerned. If there had been, say, like in other places, a SAARC regional committee, perhaps Bhutan would be able to take part very actively in that. Particularly, we'll be able to tackle, like, for example, Bhutan is now seriously after organic agriculture, for example, lemongrass. You know. So a specific problem could be addressed in such issues where regional, at the SAARC level, such type of regional meeting is there, regional committee is there. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Bhutan. Ghana, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. With respect to Objective 2, that is strengthening participation in CODEX, the report indicates several strategies, and indeed, Ghana believes that strengthening these activities should start from in-house, where there is preparation of delegates or participants to understand the core principles and procedures of CODEX. This in-house training linked to mentoring and twinning in the regions will be a very effective way of getting value for money. It is also crucial that we have a system of monitoring the impact of these in-house or in-country activities and regional activities. I think these are very, very important. It is after these that international work of CODEX may become more effective. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ghana. Papua New Guinea, please.
Thank you, sir. I think I will. I'm from the small island development country and also represent the other state here. Firstly, we'd like to thank all the donors that have supported the initiative of WHO in setting up the trust fund that is assisting the small island development countries and the least developing countries. Yeah. What I'd like to note here is that I think I'd like to echo the statement by EU on the priority objective. I think it's for us it should be number 2, you know, strengthening the capacity of these least developed countries and the small island development countries to effectively participate in such meetings and all the meetings that so once that can be used as a criteria for prioritizing which meetings we attend. Objective 3 is basically the overflow of what you can participate. You learn from where you effectively participate. So it's a step. So if we can take objective 2 much more seriously, then that will be used as a criteria for you to prioritize your the meetings where you can be most effective in participating, and as well as going towards scientific and technical enhancement of the capacity within these countries. For us, it will take time for to go into much more technical and scientific It's a long process for us, but we will rely on developing countries to assist us in terms of standard development or whatever that's required. But at the moment, it's effective participation and knowing the systems and the processes and the steps that's involved. I think that's the main thing. So objective two would be, yeah. So I think that's it. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Papua New Guinea. I recognize the flags of the United States.
Thank you, Chair.
We believe that Objective 2 is critical to the long-term sustainability of a country's CODEX participation. A country that is effective in CODEX will have results to show its government, and that enhances the prospects for stronger support from its government for the future. The United States, as do many other countries, provides support to the Trust Fund, and we believe that the additional participation that has occurred because of the existence of the Trust Fund has strengthened the ability of CODEX to represent the interests of all regions. Certainly, Kenya noted some of the benefits of that participation. In addition to the specific money in the Trust Funds, developed countries can, and many have, contribute to capacity building outside of the Trust Fund itself. I would encourage WHO to establish a mechanism to coordinate or perhaps provide an information exchange so that we can make sure that we're coordinated as much as possible, duplication as much as possible is provided, and we're using the best use of our resources. I'm very pleased to hear the comments from the other countries and to say that we continue to be a supporter of the Trust Fund at the United States.
Thank you, United States. Uganda, please.
Thank you very much, Chair. I think we also need to target the top leadership of the Ministries of Health. And one way we can do it is ensuring that CODEX issues appear on the agenda, for example, of the World Health Assembly or the regional WHO regional meetings, so that when the top leadership is there, there is an agenda item, some undertakings are also done. Then that way also the political leadership or the top leadership has commitments. And the moment we strengthen and sensitize them, then it becomes easier even when it comes to resource allocations and the like, because if we leave them out, the technical people alone are not enough to push the CODEX issue. I thank you, Chair.
Colombia, please.
Gracias, señor presidente.
Thank you, Chairman. We raised the concern a moment ago as to the need to improve capacity and structures. Certain countries of the South have achieved development, and we believe that it is high time for us to offer up our experience in a South-South cooperation structure, such that our own capacity can be taken into account, not necessarily offering resources, but offering experience, transferring our know-how and skills to others in the South, such that capacity can be built in that way in a South-South manner, with a view to also trying to improve national structures for CODEX. Thank you, Chairman.
I would like now to summarize my proposal for Objective 2 and see whether we are agreeable to my summary, so that we can move on to Objective 3. Objective 2 is on strengthening participation in CODEX, and we did get a presentation from WHO, largely targeting training. There has been a number of submissions from the floor, and there is general support for the training. However, there are some other issues related to strengthening participation that have been mentioned that the trust fund may wish to consider. The first one is there has been mention and support for regional training. There has also been mention of the need to coordinate the training that are being offered by FAO, WHO, the Trust Fund, with the training of other members of the Commission and sharing of information to that effect. We have also, it has also been mentioned that the need to combine training with mentoring and twinning as a way of strengthening participation should be considered. And we also have the need to target or sensitize top leadership within our governments so that issues of codex could appear on the agendas in the various fora, the regional and international meetings, so as to influence participation and to influence resource allocation. That is the summary that I have from Objective 2. Is there support for that summary? Lebanon, please.
Shukran, Sayyid al-Ra'is.
Thank you, Chairman. I believe that we had discussed supporting national committees at the same time as the regional committees, and I would propose, therefore, at the same time, that training and support be provided for focal points, since on occasions the focal points may differ from those within the national committee, the regional committees. I would therefore propose support for national focal points. Thank you, Chair.
Lebanon, I think, yes, we did talk about support to, I think there was a mention of national codex committees and national focal points. I think that will be added to the report. And there was also use of South-South cooperation that was mentioned as a means of strengthening participation within codex. So thank you very much. Can we now move to the... FAO, please.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Now, just to add, I thought there was an important point raised by Japan as well on measuring impact as we go forward, and that's already on FAO and WHO radar as we continue working with you through the Kuris Trust Fund. Thank you.
Thank you, FAO. Guinea-Bissau, please.
Merci, Monsieur le Président.
Thank you, Chairman. I wish to make reference to the second objective in particular, but I will have a go back to your summary briefly, following on also from the statement by Ghana as the Africa coordinator. And I would like to say that it is very necessary to have activities, particularly at the regional level, because for many years we have been the beneficiaries of US-organized events in Mozambique and Accra and elsewhere, as well as SPS projects organized by the European Union to provide support for Codex activity. We, as Portuguese-speaking countries, were able to enjoy Portuguese simultaneous interpretation as a result of these, or through these meetings, enabling us as Portuguese-speaking delegates to fully reap the benefits of the Accra activities. And I would like to take this opportunity to extend my thanks, therefore, to donor countries and would encourage them to provide support, notably to regional activities, to improve the operation and the participation in different Codex bodies, because at national level, this can often be difficult. There are a number of countries in the region, and if we organise things regionally, we can bring people together to learn and share from experiences. Thank you.
Thank you, Guinea-Bissau. Burundi. Burundi, please.
Merci de nous accorder la parole.
Thank you, Chairman, for giving me the floor. Burundi would echo those who are in favour of providing a particular attention to least developed countries and graduate countries with strict evaluation and appraisal on the basis of the outcomes and participation in Codex activities. Even if this requires some definite decisive action to get such countries back on course. Thank you.
Thank you, Burundi, and thank you, delegates. We now need to move to objective 3, which is enhancing technical and scientific input codex. We have already received some submissions from the European Union on that issue, from Kenya, also touched that particular issue. And here, as presented by WHO, two specific activities were mentioned, namely seminars of understanding codex issues as far as scientific data is concerned. And we also had a mention of data surveys targeted to some countries in collecting data that will be used in the various codex committees. So the floor is open for guidance for the way forward on objective 3. Ghana, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The objective 3 provides us with an opportunity that I believe we have missed over time. The universities and research institutes in our various regions that are training food scientists, nutritionists, biochemists, and related disciplines that are involved in analyzing on a daily basis quality and the chemical composition of foods and related constituents. In strengthening or enhancing technical and scientific input at Codex, I believe we could have some training that redirects the efforts of these experts to appreciate what is expected to be part of the process for determining scientific advice in Codex. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ghana. Morocco, please.
Thank you, Chair. First of all, we would like to thank the Codex Trust Fund for having helped our country to reach the two first objectives. And as I have said several countries, we are ready to share our experience with other developing countries, especially on the regional side. However, it seems to us that Objective 3 is still far from our reach. And we think that countries like ours need more support to be able to help in getting those data that we strongly need when we are taking decisions here in Codex and try to use the principle of science-based decisions and increase the transparency. So in that sense, first we fully agree with our colleagues from Ghana, and we agree also with the mechanism that's proposed in the paper, especially that it's a step-by-step mechanism that would help our developing countries get to reach that objective little by little by increasing their capacities. Thank you.
Thank you, Morocco. South Africa, please.
Thank you very much. And we appreciate the opportunity to also speak on this matter. And in support of possible ways of dealing with Objective 3, we think that in many of the developing countries, you find that there are experts who work in various research entities, but somehow there seems to be a gap in terms of the work that they do, feeding into or assisting developing countries in terms of Codex work. And I'm not sure how the trust fund could assist. It could be an organizational issue. It could be a funding issue. But I think somehow it would be useful that between the workshops and data
generation,
access and generation, some links be built between people who represent their countries at the Codex meetings and the technical experts in their own country. I'm not sure if that is well articulated, but that's really what we're trying to say is important, to ensure that that data ultimately gets fed into the Codex system. Thank you.
WHO, please.
Just quickly to address the issues raised by the three last speakers. In principle, I mean, you mentioned already the solution in one way. There are two aspects to it. One is the national aspect, which is how can national authorities, those who represent the country at, you know, meetings like Codex, but other standard-setting bodies, how can they tap into the resources of the scientists in their country? And that is something where I guess it will not be the Codex Trust Fund that will help you. It may be some of our other capacity-building activities, the mentoring programs that some spoke about before. That is one side of it. I think the important thing is how do we, as an international community, benefit from the data and the expertise that you have in your countries? That is a more important question for us here. And I think, again, really, I would ask you, when you go home, to make sure that your scientists know that we put up on the web calls for experts, calls for data, for the scientific advice all the time. So, in principle, you know, we'd welcome proposals from you know, scientists in developing countries, but also those who have data to submit them, so that we benefit all from them. So again, I think it's really something that we have to play together, the secretariats and the member states. We'll certainly take that into account, noted, and we'll work on that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, WHO. Uganda, please.
I think WHO has sort of cut off the head of what I wanted to emphasize. But the emphasis I wanted to put, that on top of what South Africa and Ghana said, in most of our countries there is a lot of unpublished codex-related data. Raw data, some are unpublished, some are. And then we have the challenge of coordination and collaboration within different institutions. Now my challenge was, how do we access that raw data? But as WHO is saying, I'm not sure it will solve the problem, but partly. But definitely there is a lot of data which is inaccessible. So how do we access it? is the challenge, which I thought in strengthening maybe would include it in here.
Thank you, Uganda. Costa Rica, please.
Sí, gracias, señor.
Thank you, Chairman. Well, following on from what the distinguished speaker from WHO said just now, it's indicated that there are other mechanisms that could be used to bring into play information from databases and so on. It would therefore not be necessary to give over a huge amount of resources to this objective, Objective 3. However, if we are going to do so, we should focus on the second point on the activities proposed herein. In other words, improve support for the highly costly research that certain developing countries might not be able to undertake. For example, dietary studies in such regions, or certain types of scientific research that might be able to feed into the JECFA, GEMRA, or JMPR. And what Costa Rica is proposing, therefore, is that if we are to give money over to these resources, of course, fewer resources than for the other objectives, if we are to do so, we should focus on point two, on the basis of the specific needs voiced by the regions themselves. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Costa Rica. Pakistan, please.
Thank you, Chair. Pakistan, of course, thinks that Objective 2 is very vital, but Objective 3 is also very important, because only through this objective we can ensure a regional context in this standard setting process. Chair, I just want to ask one thing. Are there any regional centers of excellence also as part of Codex outreach system, besides having experts on the panel? Thank you.
WHO, please, on that question.
Right. Thank you, Chair. Yeah, to address the question from the distinguished delegate of Pakistan, there are no centers of excellence that contribute directly to the work of the scientific committees. Having said that, of course, any of the experts represents an institution that has high scientific standards. However, WHO and FAO can speak for themselves later. We have several networks of collaborating centers in various areas, and some of those collaborating centers are centers of excellence in the area of food safety, of chemical risk assessment, of pesticide management, and so on. So that is one. When it comes to exposure assessment, we have the network that feeds into the GEMS food program, where we monitor levels of contaminants in food and intakes of chemicals through food. I hope that answers your question.
Thank you, WHO. FAO, please, if you have any additional information.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I wanted to just pick up on two points and to support some of the comments also made by WHO. Regarding the specific centres of excellence, I would support that in addition to the centres mentioned by WHO, I mean, very much in your countries and in your regions, there are many existing centres of excellence, let's say, and I think one of the issues is to continue to work with them, universities and scientific institutes, and also to make sure, as many of you have said, that the data that is available in your countries is used internationally within the expert meeting, JECFA, GEMRAS, etc., but equally, even more importantly, in the national context. And I'm sure that you are very familiar with the difficulties sometimes, or that data is not being used, that's generated by your scientists, by your risk managers. And so we are working hard with your countries to build that link within a risk analysis framework of risk assessors, scientists talking with risk managers for national food safety issues, but as well as the road ahead and the existing road of making that data available to the expert international scientific advice activities. Coming back to just this issue again of, I guess, of making best use of all possibilities available to us, including through the Codex Trust Fund and making best use of the funding we have. But equally, when we think about some of the issues you've raised now in data collection, exposure, food composition data, studies on contaminants, etc., you know, and some of you have mentioned also to avoid doubling up with existing WHO and FAO activities. So we need to think of it also in what are the other possibilities that are available to your countries for partnership and resources in those areas as well. And that will bring us back again to what is the most effective use, as you require, from the Codex Trust Fund resources. Thank you.
Thank you, FAO. We need to wind up on this particular area.
Pakistan wants to.
Pakistan, you are still.
Thank you, Chair. Just a follow up to the response given by WHO and FAO. WHO indicated that there are some center of excellences that with which they are working. So my suggestion is that if we have a good representative regional selection of center of excellences, that would be a much better institutional arrangement of ensuring regional participation. Because as Bhutan suggested, that at a region level, it's much more convenient for some of the countries to come up with a collective wisdom and then feed into the Codex work. So if there are good regional excellence centers where this work is coordinated, and that regional center is in constant in touch with the Codex, then maybe we can ensure technical participation of the developing countries as well as LDCs.
Just one thing that's important to note is when I talk about centers of excellence, they serve a wider kind of audience than the Codex. They do not necessarily feed directly into the Codex work. Having said that, our regional offices do conduct capacity building activities that will benefit the Codex participation, but they're not necessarily linked, directly linked. So I think we'll take your suggestion, we'll share it with our regional colleagues and make sure that, you know, their activities are more widely known and also communicated not just to the scientists but also to the risk managers. So to serve you better. Thank you very much.
Ethiopia, please.
Thank you very much, Chairman. I just want to add the possibility of tapping expertise from professional associations like in Africa or in any developing countries, and also looking at expertise in different areas in academias, like we have African Academy of Sciences and so on. So although science are transparent in the in publications and so on, but it may be very, very broad. So this may be one way of getting expertise on food safety or on food standard development issues concerning the Codex objectives. Thank you.
Thank you, Ethiopia. Lebanon. Lebanon, please.
Shukran, Sayyid Rais.
Thank you, Chair. I don't know what year you resorted to experts and you in the developing world and you realized they didn't have the necessary experience. What I find here is that the developing world does have good experts And if we guarantee that they will be able to participate in preparatory work of the commission, that wouldn't be a good idea. I think we're being unfair with the experts from the developing world.
Thank you, Lebanon. Could I have the flags of Iran? Iran, please.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, following listening to information provided by the WHO and FAO after question by Pakistan, I do not have too much to add on that, but particularly based on this issue that expressed by Ghana, we need transparent science-based data for making any decision in this regard. So we need some trust fund to help in the countries to be able to materialize the aims of the Codex in this respect, taking into account the center of excellence which are available in the regions, different regions I'm talking about. So taking all of that can help somehow in materializing the views and aims of this Codex. For that, we fully support, in addition to have sub-trust fund, we can benefit and use such kind of center of experts and many other possibilities which are available in the regions for this purpose. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Iran. Rwanda, please.
Thank you, Chair. I think after the interventions of FAO and World Health Organization, I'll just have a little to say. Just sharing experience of the disconnect that I find between the repository of data that could contribute to standard setting that you find in the developing world institutes of research and universities. I find from experience of 15 years in research that research is completely detached from institutions that set standards. I just want to share my experience that 15 years I spent in research, I had never seen in any single proposal of research where they were linking research to setting standards. So you find there's a development of, for example, varieties up to the time of even processing, product development, but they stop there at that door, but not involving actually adding value in terms of standards. And therefore, finishing my submission, I want to propose that what FAO, what Codex could do would be to serve as a facilitator to link these institutions that sit on very important data with standard setting bodies, national and Codex itself. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Rwanda, and thank you very much, delegates, on objective three. To Lebanon. WHO would like to respond to Lebanon. WHO, please.
Thank you, Chair. It's really just to reassure the distinguished delegates from Lebanon that we are not making a distinction between experts in developing countries and experts in other countries. The issue is there are accomplished experts in developing countries that we use in the system and who do come and who do participate in full. The issue here is there may be a few experts, and they exist in developed countries as well, who need just a little kick to move from pure research to somebody who can contribute to the standard-setting approach. And those people who are offering an additional possibility of being trained, if you like, trained on the job of being part of the and parcel of the decision-making at those scientific committees to, you know, just see what is needed beyond the science that they have. Having said that, there's no question. Those scientists in developing countries, and you can believe me, being myself born in one, that we do build on them, and we have a number of examples. So no question. We're not making any discrimination here. And, I mean, honestly, that will be against the spirit of the UN.
Thank you very much, WHO. On objective three, there is a general agreement and understanding from the Commission of the need for generation of data, scientific data that will support the Codex process, and therefore the need for the trust fund to have a mechanism that will support, one, the generation of such data through support by support scientists and scientific institutions, two, access to existing databases for purposes of information for the Codex process, and three, support to increasing data from developing countries that may be considered for scientific advice and subsequent Codex process. It has also been mentioned that on objective three, additional support could also be obtained to support objective three of generating data for the Codex process. So that's the summary for objective three. And in conclusion, for the Codex Trust Fund, because there was a question, are the proposals put forward for objectives 1, 2, and 3 the right way? I think the answer to that would be yes, but taking into account the guidance given by the Commission this afternoon. I'd like to conclude, unless there are issues on the trust fund, I'd like to conclude on that note and thank you very much for your active participation and guidance as a way forward for the Codex Trust Fund.